Now that we recognize that some of our most ancient and sacred texts may have been saying to us, in the only words they knew in the language of their time, that there are in fact many possibilities playing out in each moment of our lives, and now that our own science and the language that we recognize and accept today is saying precisely the same thing, the question becomes, how do we choose? Do we know how to choose between those possibilities? Well, this discussion opens the door to a beautiful, wonderful new interpretation of the science of prophecy and what prophecy may in fact be saying to us today. Quantum concepts of time allow us to view prophecy in a way that we have never suspected in the past. And from this perspective, we have the opportunity to engineer the ideas of prophecy and bring those ideas to bear on the events of our world. For many people I've spoken with, the word prophecy sounds very New Age, and for them brings a sense of something that's really not believable or doesn't have much science or backbone behind it. Well, the Western world today, our own science and our military take prophecy very seriously, and we have a study of prophecy under a new name. Today we call it remote viewing. Remote viewing may be defined as our ability to project our awareness, our consciousness, and our senses through the layers or the paths of time. Our physical body stays in one place. Our senses move along what the ancients called rivers or roads or waves or ribbons of time. These are some of the ways that time has always been described in these ancient texts. And as our awareness moves either forward, backward, or vertically through time, we have the ability to register what it is that we have seen, what we've smelled, what we have sensed, what we have felt, bring that to the present moment, and record it. So remote viewing is being taken very seriously now by both our science and our military. We began hearing about remote viewing in the early 1970s. It was based in research conducted at Stanford Research Institute, SRI, where receivers would work with sensory impressions. This is very akin to open-eyed dreaming, and there are very specific and very strict protocols that the dreamer goes through. There's a facilitator talking the dreamer through various ways of looking in their open-eyed dream at where their consciousness has traveled. And very specialized training is what it is that sets a remote viewer apart from a casual daydreamer. Remote viewing was used extensively, for example, in the Gulf War in the early 1990s, when in the deserts of Iraq, rather than sending in live troops and risking their lives, remote viewers were able to project their consciousness and narrow down the search windows for where suspected missile sites or POW camps might be, and then the troops could go in with much less risk. So prophecy or remote viewing is actually being entertained as a viable science today. And I share this with you now because it is the same concept, the same prophecy that I believe brings the relevance of these ancient traditions and what the ancients were saying into our modern world today. Perhaps one of the best examples of how the layers of time and the possibilities of prophecy coexist in the same instant of time may be explored is through a phenomenon that we now know as the Bible Code. This is a very non-religious exploration of what mathematicians, statisticians, scientists, and researchers are recognizing as a matrix of information contained within the first five books and the first five books only of the Hebrew Bible, the ancient Torah. For hundreds of years, there has been a rumor that has circulated through the clergy and through the monks, the nuns, the scribes who've transcribed biblical texts from generation to generation. And that rumor has been that aside from the words and the outward expression that we read in our biblical text, that there are hidden texts within that text, that they are encoded somehow. If we have the wisdom to recognize the code, we have the wisdom to read deeper meaning into what these biblical texts are saying. Well, to decipher these codes, up until recently, was a manual operation. It was very tedious. It was done by hand over long periods of time. And with the advent of modern computers and high-speed computers, the concept of the Bible code has been taken much farther and explored to the degree that scientists and researchers today are in agreement that there is a phenomenon happening. They may be in disagreement about precisely what that phenomenon is, and they say there's something very unique and very interesting that is happening here. It was in 1995 that the Bible code was brought into public awareness as an instrument of prophecy when it was shown that on November 4th of that year, an event occurred on that day that had been predicted in the biblical text over 3,000 years previously, and that event was the assassination of Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in the city of Tel Aviv in Israel. Statisticians, mathematicians, and researchers discovered that the Bible code suggested that if Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in fact gave a speech at a particular location on November 4th, moved down a particular street at a particular moment in time, that he would in fact lose his life. They shared this with the Israeli officials. The officials were interested, however they chose not to act on it. And on that day, Yitzhak Rabin was in fact assassinated precisely in the manner that the Bible code had predicted. Well, it's found that the texts accurately predict with a very high degree of specificity. These aren't just general predictions. World War I, World War II, the countries involved, the years that they entered, the leaders of the countries as they entered, and what their political positions were. The Watergate incident here in the United States, the Shoemaker-Levy comet, the assassinations of President John Kennedy, as well as Archduke Ferdinand and Yitzhak Rabin. And it's not all about tragedies. The Bible code speaks to us of great people in our past. It describes, for example, that Beethoven and Bach were both composers, and specifically German composers. It says that Rembrandt was a Dutch painter. And it goes on to say very specific things regarding the Gulf War, for example, in 1990, giving precise dates for the Scud missile attacks in Israel on the 18th of January, 1991. The text goes on and on and on. For many researchers, it's a mystery how so much information with such accuracy could be contained in something that they see as limited as the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. Well, to understand how the Bible code works, now that we have the language of time and the relationship between prophecy and physics, we may draw upon those and look at the Bible code in a new way. The Bible code is based upon the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, known as the Torah. And researchers discovered that it is only these five books upon which this code will work. They've tried it with War and Peace, Gone with the Wind, telephone books, Webster's Dictionary. It simply does not work with these other texts. The first five books of the Hebrew Bible also became the first books of the Christian Bible, and it is believed that these texts, although they were given to us, they appear in this world about 3,200 years ago, they have changed very little in the last 1,000 years. And this is interesting. When the scribes were trained and given the task of copying the Torah by hand, they were told that every single letter must be transcribed precisely the way that appears in the original, and changing even one letter ran the risk of bringing doom to the entire earth. And now our understandings of time and prophecy are beginning to shed light on why that kind of information was given to those scribes so long ago. An 18th century scholar known as the Genius of Vilna perhaps best summarized the role that the Torah plays in helping us to understand the possibilities of vertical time in the events of our lives. He says the rule is that all that was, all that is, all that will ever be until the very end of time is included in the Torah, from the first word to the last word, and not merely in a general sense, but as to the details of every species and each individual, and details of details, and everything that has happened to him from the day of his birth until the end. What this quote is suggesting is that the Bible code is a matrix. It's a record of all of the possibilities that could ever play out since the moment that creation began, encoded within this one text. That opens the door to a tremendous and vast array of possibilities.